or has done for me in the future, that's written right here, that I've got an inheritance. That inheritance is incorruptible. And guess what? It's not only incorruptible. There'll be no sin there. There'll be no hurt there. There'll be no pain there. And if you're here tonight and you're a child of God, that's the same promise that you got. That's our hope, right, of the future of where we're headed. And here's another thing I like about it. And if you read it, it says that not only I have a reservation in heaven. Now, when you go out of town and you're going to plan to go out of town and get a motel room, you're going to have a reservation. That reservation is going to have your name on it. Can I tell you that if you're saved tonight, you got a reservation with your name on it in heaven? And not only do we have a reservation with our name on it in heaven, guess what? It's kept by the power of God. You cannot lose that reservation. And that right there is exciting to me. But God was just taking me down this path of remembrance. You know what I mean? Remember, remember. It seemed like everything that I would read had the word remember in it. Remember, remember. Well, now I just feel like this word love, I can't get it off my mind. It started this weekend. Just the word love. Just the word love, you know. How do we love like God? What are we supposed to do? Can we do it? Is it possible to love like God? Is it possible to love unconditionally? Is it possible to love people that aren't like me? Is it possible to love my wife the way that she ought to be loved? Is it possible to love people that has betrayed me? Is it possible to love people that don't believe in me, that don't believe in what I say? Is it possible? Is it possible? And I just think that if Brian Sink would get this love thing figured out and that I would be able to love like Jesus Christ loved, I would see a difference not only in my life, but those people around me in my life. You understand what I'm talking about? Because we know that we ought to love each other, right? We know that our priority and the number one commandment is to love God first, right? And then love others. We know those things, but don't we know a whole lot? Just because we know something don't necessarily mean that we do it. And look, I'm a firm believer in this. Our church pews are empty. And it's because of lack of love. It is. And God's been dealing with me on this. I think I have a love problem. So tonight, I just want to go back in John 13 where we kind of were this morning in Sunday school. And again, a lot of you folks are in Sunday school class, so you may hear some things repeated. And I apologize for that up front. Danielle said, this is a 10-minute video. She goes, you must have a short message. Maybe. I don't know. I thought this morning I was going to be done early, and I didn't get through but 2 pages of notes. And we need God to show up. It don't matter what I say. If it ain't of God and God's not speaking in through me, it's worthless, it's pointless. Love, a new commandment, love, a new commandment, love. I want to talk about this thing about love again, because I think it's important that we see and understand what Jesus is trying to teach us, show us about this word love. His teaching on love is worth rethinking. I think it's worth rethinking daily. And I think that we have to be open and we have to be honest with ourselves and with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, that there's times in our life that we do not love like we ought to love. That's a fact. We just don't. I'm not here to beat anybody up. Like I said, this message may not be for anybody in the room but me. Sometimes when and where we say something is as important to the meaning as the actual words that come out of our mouth. And that's true in John 13. And if you remember John 13, it begins in the upper room. And Jesus is there and he's with all of his disciples. And guess what? Thomas was there. Thomas was a disciple, okay? And Thomas is one who will doubt that the resurrection took place. He was a doubter. He wasn't the only one, but he kind of got the name of Thomas, Doubting Thomas. Peter was there in this room, okay? And what about Peter? Here Peter is, and he's the one who what? He will deny knowing Jesus after Jesus got arrested. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. He's in the upper room in chapter 13 this night. The night before Jesus got crucified. What about Judas? Judas was in this room. We all know Judas. He's the one who betrayed Jesus, and he handed him over to those wanting to kill him. He's in this room that night. So when what Jesus is talking about in verse 13, not only what he's talking about, but what he's doing, he's trying to show us something. He's trying to show us something, just like he was trying to show them something. As Jesus, and the thing about Jesus, he knew that Thomas would doubt him already, right? He knew this thing. He knew that Peter would deny him three times. He knew that Judas would be the one to betray him. And they're in this upper room having a meal, and Jesus is talking to him, and Jesus goes on to wash their feet. Washing a person's feet in that culture was supposed to be done by a servant. By a servant. Now Jesus here was humbling himself and doing the work of a servant. But let's stop here. I want to think about this. What does this mean? Now that we know the full story, okay? Now that we know what happens after this night, and we know about the resurrection, and we know that Thomas doubts, and we know that Peter denied him three times, and we know that Judas is the betrayer. We know all this because we're kind of looking back. I want to stop and think about that. Jesus was washing the one's feet who was about to betray him. We talked about betrayal this morning, didn't we? I asked if anybody ever in here betrayed. Some people raised their hands. We talked about how it hurt you. You lose trust in that person. And see, a lot of times when we're betrayed, we don't know what's coming. We don't see it coming. But Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him that night. And guess what? He still humbled himself. He got down on his knees and he washed Judas's feet. And that's love. That's love. He washed Peter's feet, knowing that Peter would deny him. He washed Thomas's feet, knowing that he would doubt him. Jesus knew all that would happen. He predicted it. But he still got on his knees, and he still loved them, and he still washed their feet the night before he was getting ready to go to the cross. So a picture, that to me, that's a picture of love. Picture, can you envision this? Picture Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for our sins, on his knees, washing the feet of Judas, knowing that he was going to betray. That's love. Jesus tells us that this is what we need to do for one another. We need to love one another as he loved us. So, John 13:34. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much, Lord, for the day that you've given us. Thank you for what you have done for us today, Lord, and there's no single person here by accident here tonight. Thankful for those who saw the need to be here, Lord. Thankful for our service this morning, Brother Bobby, and the message he gave. And Lord, as we get into your word tonight, Lord, help us to have open hearts. Help us to have open minds. Lord, help us not to be distracted of the things of the world. Help us to not allow Satan to get into our mind and get us distracted on what has to take place tonight or tomorrow, Lord, but we would be solely focused on you. Lord, that we would just give you permission. Lord, we give you permission to speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Give it to us. Don't hold back, Lord. Give conviction where it's needed. Lord, help us to be open and honest with ourselves. Help us to be open and honest with you, Lord. And we're going to give you thanks for all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So what's new about it? It says there in verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." What's new about it? Well, the commandment to love This ain't the first time that it's written. This isn't the first time that it's said. So it really wasn't new. It's mentioned often in the Old Testament. As I just talked about, the greatest commandment is to love God. And next to that is our love for our neighbor. Okay? And these are repeated several times in the Old Testament, but they're not new. But Jesus' commandment here may be, or the way what he's trying to get us to see what he's doing, because you think about it, he's doing something here prior to saying this, and he's getting down and he's humbling himself, and he's doing all these things, knowing what's going to take place, knowing that these guys are going to betray him and all that, but he still does it. So what is he teaching? He's coming off of teaching these disciples, and by us reading it, he's teaching us something here as well. So what's new about it? Not love, but loving like Jesus did. He's given us an example. Loving like Jesus did. The new part of this is that we are commanded to love one another just like Jesus loves us. And that means loving, guess what? Those who doubt us, those who deny knowing us, those who betray us, and those that aren't like us. That's what it says. But that's what Jesus did. That's what he did for us. He loved us. And he does love us. Even when we doubt him. Even when we deny him. Even when we betray him. He still loves us. Unconditionally. This verse, he asked us to do the exact same thing for others. It's not easy, as we talked about this morning. It's hard to love certain people. But it's always important. It's not always easy, but it's always important. It's always commanded. I don't think Jesus ever said, love those who love you. Love those that are like you. Love those that don't participate in this type of sin. Does he ever say any of that? We are to love one another as Jesus loved us. And that's what I want to focus on here tonight. How to love one another and folks outside the church as Jesus loved us. And looking back on Jesus' life, we can learn from him about love, not only in this scripture, but throughout all his word. If we are to love him as he loved us, what exactly does that mean? We're going to look at some ways here. These ain't all the ways, but I'm going to look at a few ways that maybe it'll help us along, that we can love in the same way that Jesus loved. Jesus teaches us first to love without expecting anything in return. Not to expect to love without expecting anything in return. I don't think when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet right there that he was doing it so they would in turn wash his. I don't think that was his intention. He washes their feet with the knowledge that they would soon abandon him and that he is going to die on the cross. He knew all this was coming. His love is unconditional. There's no strings attached. He loves without some kind of an agenda. And that is so different from how the world works, how our world works. It's hard to even get our mind around, at least me. It's hard for me to even think about loving that way. But one thing I have learned about loving is that it brings instant joy to me. In those times where I am in the right spirit, and in those times where I want to have a positive impact in people's lives, and when those times when I get up in the mornings and I want to come to church, and I want to be here to be an encouragement to all you folks that are here, and I don't want to be critical of things, and I don't want to be critical of people, guess what? You might not feel it, but it sure makes me have joy. When I love people unconditionally and I try to have a positive impact in their life, it does something inside of me that brings me great joy in doing so. It's easier to love without hoping to get something in return. It's easier to just want to have a positive impact in people's lives by focusing on the positives of life and loving on them. But when or if it's not easier to love in this way, it's still necessary. Why is it still necessary? Because God said so. It's necessary to love that way unconditionally. Jesus teaches us that this is what true love looks like. In Matthew 5:46, it says, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? And he goes on to say, do not the tax collectors even do the same? Loving those who love us, that's what everybody does. Loving those who love us, everybody does that. Loving those who don't love us is what Christians do. And because of this, the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples. If we love unconditionally, without an agenda, and without expecting a single thing in return, this world will know. This little town of Buchanan will know. We need to be vulnerable. How about that? I read this somewhere today. It says this, love is walking every day and loving someone who may or may not love us back, whose safety we can't ensure, who may stay in our lives or may leave without a moment's notice, who may be loyal till the day they die or betray us tomorrow. That's vulnerability. Vulnerability is the next thing I believe Jesus teaches us about love. The word vulnerable, it literally means able to be wounded or able to be hurt. So when we are vulnerable, when we open ourselves up to the possibility of being wounded or being hurt because of love, that's what vulnerability is. And that is exactly what Jesus says, teaches us, that we should open up ourselves to one another, even if it opens up to the possibility of being wounded or hurt. Didn't Jesus do that? Jesus loved Judas. Remember I was talking about this morning? He didn't make a big scene in that upper room and say, hey, you guys, right here's the one with the big arrow with the big blinking light over Judas's head. This is the guy that's about to betray me right here. This one that's been walking with us for the last 3 years or however long it was. This is the guy. No, he said it to just John. That's all he said it to. He didn't make a big scene of it. Why? Because he loved Judas, even though he was getting ready to betray him. He loved Peter, who denied knowing him. He loved Thomas, who doubted him. He loved those who abandoned him, even those who crucified him. Jesus loved in a way that opened him up to these wounds and to this hurt, and he teaches us to do the very same thing if we're to be disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. It's hard, or it's how God created us, to be in a relationship with God and one with another. We kind of watched that on the video, right? That's why we're created. We were created for love and for a belonging and for a community and for our church and our church family and to love the Lord and love each other and love people that aren't like us. And when we reject these things, it's always suffering. Jesus came to restore our relationship with God by suffering for us. And he came to show us how to love. And loving in that way, the way that Jesus teaches us, we're going to be vulnerable. We're going to get hurt. If Jesus Christ himself got hurt, we're going to get hurt if we love like him. There's no way around it. Loving those not like us. Love one another, Jesus said, just as I have loved you. Loving without an agenda, it makes us vulnerable. It also leads us to love people who are not like us. Jesus loved people who was not like him. He loved people who disagreed with him. He loved people who looked at the world very different than what he did. There is not a single person that Jesus didn't love. It is the one thing that I believe that Jesus Christ is incapable of, not loving people. He could not help but to love everyone. It doesn't mean that he didn't challenge them. It didn't mean that he didn't get frustrated with them. It didn't mean that he didn't occasionally rebuke them. How about the time he went in and turned the money changers over and thrashed them out of there? But it was done out of love. He done it because he loved God, and they were sinning in the house of God. The old commandment from Leviticus that I mentioned earlier is to love our neighbor as ourselves. But this new commandment from Jesus is to love even those who are not our neighbors. To love those who are not our neighbors. Jesus loved lepers. And they were considered to be unclean and unloved by God. Jesus loved tax collectors, even calling one of them, Matthew, to be his disciple. Jesus loved the Samaritans. He loved prostitutes. He loved the poor. He loved those that society didn't even see. He considered all of them neighbors. All loved by God and all deserving our love as well. Jesus completely redefined who our neighbor is. Our neighbor is anyone and everyone we have an opportunity to love. And that's what that video was talking about, keeping our eyes open every single day for people that may be hurting and love on them. He taught us to love even our enemies because he did it. Now, this don't mean that we accept or agree with what they are doing. We may not agree with what they're doing, may not accept what they're doing, but we still should love them. And that's how we should witness to them. And that's kind of where we get in, at least for me, it's hard to witness to somebody that is participating in a sin that I don't dab in, I've never dabbed in. I call it a sickening sin, whatever you want to call it. But guess what? They're all sickening sins as far as Jesus is concerned. But because of I've never dabbed in this sin, if I had to go up and witness to that person in the sin, and that it's in that sin, and try my best to explain to him, her, whatever, that it's wrong, this my whole demeanor might be different. My whole demeanor might be a little bit more judgmental towards them, and because that's the human side, that it's easy to do. But guess what? There's a problem with that. And if I had the love of Jesus in me, right? If I was allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of me, and for him to speak in and through me to this person, this dabbing in this sin that I've never dabbed in, then guess what? It would be a different whole witnessing, right? We all know that we're supposed to witness to every person, right? We're commanded to do that. Jesus hung around sinners, did he not? He hung around sinners. We got to go around sinners too. But isn't it hard? How do we do it? We have to love like Jesus. We have to realize that even though this particular person is dabbing in sin that we've never dabbed in, that Jesus Christ went to the cross for them just like he did me. Love according to Jesus doesn't mean accepting actions that are wrong. Jesus met people where they were, but he didn't leave them there. He called them to repent. He loved on them. He forgave them, but he also invited them to change their ways. Jesus don't love sin. He's never loved sin, but he's always loved sinners. And that's what we to do. Right? And he still does today. He still does today. Loving as Jesus loved is not easy. I don't recall ever reading anywhere that it says it will be easy. And looking back at Jesus' life in the light of his death and his resurrection, I can see that it was not easy for him either. Do you think all this was easy for Jesus? It's never going to be easy to love unconditionally, or to love without an agenda, or to love without expectation. It's never going to be easy to love in a way that makes us vulnerable because we don't want to be hurt. We don't want to get wounded. It's never going to be easy to love people who aren't like us. But Jesus never said it would be easy. He didn't say, take up your cross and follow me, it's going to be easy. He's not asking us to do something that he didn't do already. I don't know about you guys, but it's easier for me to try to attempt my best to follow somebody that leads by example. You know what I'm saying? Then somebody just blabs on, talks on, talk, but no walk in it. He's not asking us to do something that he has not already done himself. Not only did he do it, he did it perfectly. But here's some good news. When we fail, I fail at loving. I've already admitted that. Guess what? When I fail, Jesus still loves me. When I doubt him, when I deny him, when I betray him, he still loves me. And because that is what true love looks like, it looks like Jesus kneeling our feet, loving us, and asking us to do the exact same thing. We make it really hard. If we ever get this love thing figured out, we'll see a difference in our church. You'll see a difference in your life. I'm confident in that. Look at verse 35 there. It says, by this shall all men, people, know that ye are my disciples. What's it say next? If ye have love one to another. By this shall all men, people, know that ye are my disciples if ye have love for one another. So this is where I want to ask you to be honest with yourself. How are you doing? How are you doing? By this one verse alone, it says that if all people don't recognize us as a disciple, it's because we're not, what? Loving. Ain't that what it says? How are you doing? I want to just take a minute here. We'll pray a little bit. That's all I got. Paul, if you want to come up, we'll pray a little bit. But I just challenge all of you to ask yourself that. Are you loving like Jesus loves? Do you love like Jesus loves? How's your love life? And then ask God to just help you with it, right? Help us. That's what we need, to be filled with His Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 208, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, hymn 208. Let's stand together.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will all.